soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
The Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, rebote y el gol! ¡Gol de oro! ¡Gol de oro! ¡Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Okay, we're lining it up, the phone calls here. A couple of words here quickly. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 and the Marquee Entertainment Center. It's a Liverpool supporters group there. Great whiskey offerings, great beer offerings. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Cactus Music, my great friend Quinn down there, he's already got his Rolling Stones tickets. But if you're a fan of vinyl, this is like going into a museum as well. It's Cactus Music, okay? So don't forget that either. I'm a big vinyl guy, and I think a lot of people are getting into it. It's a lot of fun. Okay, we come back again with Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad and Ben Olsen. Just before we move on here, just maybe take us a little bit more into the DP situation. Were you disappointed that a fourth wasn't added? I know I asked you that before.
I don't know if I was disappointed. I think, this is kind of up to the owners and what they want to spend.
Right.
I think they're looking at different avenues and how to improve the product on the field, whether that's, bringing in a fourth DP, which I don't think will be happening. But there's different things that they're looking at that hopefully will help us try to build our roster out. And the sooner that happens, then the better it is for us to prepare for it and make sure that we're making the right decisions.
Now, I know we were talking a little bit about the youth stuff, and we won't get too heavy into it because it's kind of Tony Vigil's heading up your academy. But I do want to ask you a little bit about just the ultra importance to compete in MLS by producing some of your own cheap labor. I know we were talking about the youth community on the outside and MLS Next now, and the two groups, one headed up by Josh Gardner, it's Rangers, and the other one I think is GFI, Global Football Initiative. I get the sense that the idea here is for if these two MLS Next setups produce players, they ultimately want to be moved to the Dynamo. The question is when and at what age?
Yeah, I think that'll depend on the player. You know, we have some interesting guys that are in our pipeline right now, to name a few, Sebastian Rodriguez, Tate Lampman. We have a couple of guys one guy coming back from college that's possible, Kieran Sargent from Georgetown. So these are guys that have been in our program for a while now, and we're hoping that they can make the step. The bridge with MLS Next Pro makes it that much easier, I think, for us. It's a big jump to go from the academy, from college, straight into an MLS team. But to be able to have that team in between and a bridge that gap, I think will make a world of difference for our club.
Is there some sort of agreement with those two groups, though, that, you know, you're all in that same league? I mean, how do you bring them together so that the ultimate end game is moving the best of the best? I hate using the word elite, but the elite, I guess, in some sense, to a professional soccer team to be a pro.
Yeah, ultimately we want the best player and best players in Houston to choose the Dynamo. But that's not always the case. Some of it is if Rangers are out in Katy, someone doesn't want to drive an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and 45 minutes with traffic to train four times a week. So I think there's lots of different pathways for players in any organization to become a professional player. But the biggest thing is they need to be able to be training on a regular basis, get good coaching, get exposed to good games. And we think we can offer that, but so can Rangers, so can GFI. Sorry. So there's other options for guys in the city, and that's great. Ultimately, we're the one team that can provide a professional pathway. And we'd like to hopefully work with those groups that we can get there. We have a great relationship with Rangers, and you have to ask Tony with GFI. That's just more I'm not in the know. But I know Tony's reached out to all these clubs in the city, and we're trying to mend those bridges, I think, that at times we kind of burnt down. So that's going to take some time, and hopefully we can get there eventually.
and the importance of those guys against the salary cap. I mean, I hate. I don't even know if cheap labor is the
cheap labor.
Yeah, it's
don't
probably not the
labor.
Right way to do. Well, listen, I
say it's
cheap labor
first contracts. It's their, you got to be careful. We have a parent here with a child in our academy who doesn't want to hear.
I heard
cheap
he was
labor.
Signed already.
Yeah,
he is.
He is signed. All right, Pat Onstad here, 713-780-3776. Make your questions quick, please. We don't want a long sermon. Let's start with Christian, who wants to talk about the takeaway from the LAFC game.
Christian, I thought we already went over this.
Yeah, we did kind of go over it, Christian.
Let's go over it again.
Christian, were you listening to the show? All right, Christian.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Glenn Davis, but also to Coach Olsen and GM Onstad. Congrats on making this a great season and something to behold on this station or on Apple TV+. Quick question. Concerning the Dynamo's loss to the now two-time MLS Cup champs LAFC, what takeaways do you hope that the Foxes and Orange can learn from heading into a new season in February?
I guess I'll take that one. I think we could take a lot from that game. I kind of we went over it in the segment before, but I don't. We have to take some things away from it because that is the standard. We're close to the standard, right? But we, as I said, we cannot overdo how much we take from that game. We can't deviate from our plan over of what we're building here. We have to trust in how we go about it. But we can get better. We can get better from a coaching standpoint, better ideas in the attacking third in that type of game. Performances, individual performances. We can teach young kids like Nelson Quinones, who's this is really his first year at this level in the MLS, how to go about and get better. So when the next time he's in that situation, he's more effective, and we can add better players into attack and add more competition. So we're not as toothless as we were against them in a big match. But we also, there was a lot of good there as well. We had the ball for 70%. We were in good spots to break them down, but we just, again, we let ourselves down with some of the final stuff and ideas. So we'll work on that. We've worked on that all year. Defensively, we end up giving up a set piece and an own goal. So it wasn't like we kind of shot ourselves in the foot in two areas to give up goals that we can control, really. So a lot of work to do, but it was nice to see that type of standard, but we're not going to change too much of the progression that we're on right now.
He's Ben Olsen, head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Pat Onstad, live in studio, enjoying that people are able to watch this on Twitch. It's really a pleasure to have both of them here. And this one's really off topic, and we'll get back to more phone calls, but with the NCAA National Championship the other night, and the draft coming up, you guys have three choices. I know, Ben, you being a UVA guy, I know you guys believe in college soccer and that there's the possibility of picking off a gem maybe in the draft.
Did Ben go to college? I'm sure.
Well, did you leave early?
Did
you?
I did go
Project
to college.
40.
Yeah, you
Project
40.
I went there.
A year and a half.
We're
yeah,
Nike Project
there.
40. Yeah.
It wasn't that long.
Yeah.
And but I learned a few things.
Yeah.
I learned how to play soccer.
Yeah, a few things. It's great.
Importance of the MLS Super Draft.
The Super Draft is, it's like I had mentioned earlier, it's a big jump for these kids. There'll be a few. There's a few kids that will come in and make a difference. Why am I going blank? The Orlando
Danny
striker.
Pereira,
Danny Pereira.
Maguire.
Austin.
Maguire.
Yeah, Maguire and Austin. In Orlando, I thought was excellent. But there won't be that many. And we pick 26th, I believe. That'll be difficult down there unless we feel there's a player that we feel we should trade up for. But at this stage, we'll probably hold tight in the position we're in and try to get the best player that's available at that point.
26, 55, and 84 are your choices. All right, let's go to Krasinski, who wants to talk Carlos Vela. Krasinski.
Hi, this is Chris Sinsky, the Sinsky Man, host of Dynamo Faithful. You can listen to us on Apple or on Spotify. Just wanted to hear from both of you guys, Pat and Ben. It's an honor. Carlos Vela has opened up to free agency, and we have a DP spot recently open. So So I was wondering, Pat, if that's somebody you're looking at, and Ben, do you think he would fit into your system and play well for us?
Well, Ben can answer the system one. In terms of the issue with the salary cap at this point in time, if we brought in a Carlos Vela as a DP, that would lock up. We'd have to drop, either Aliyu Ibrahim or Nelson Quiñones, because they're both YPS players. So we have to have a TAM eligible, or if Carlos Vela is willing to do that, that's a different story, or somebody who's a under 23 initiative that could come in as a DP. So there's a few rules that we'd have to circumvent for a guy like Carlos Vela, but I'll let Ben answer tactically where that would fall.
Yeah, he's a great player, and we could always use great players at that level. But again, there's a lot to that in signing a player like that. But tactically, a Carlos Vela, you can always find a way to get him on the field. There's a lot of talent, and we got a lot of respect for him, and he's been a real nice addition to this league. It was nice to see him and Hector in the final game. I know they have a great relationship, and to see those two compete together was a neat thing to watch.
So in the fans' mind space, I know I hear a lot of, well, what about Yosef Martinez? What about Chicharito? Do you look at these things seriously? Do you come up with a quick answer to them quickly? Are older guys. You guys are building something.
Yeah, but sometimes an older player can fit in the right position. A lot of it, too, with us is cap space and where guys fit. If a Yosef Martinez says, I need $5 million, then we can't do it unless we move out another DP. So whether it's Hector Herrera or Sebastian Ferreira, before we can move in a guy like him. So there's a lot of pieces that take place. And you also want to make sure that, as Ben touched on earlier, is we've built a really good culture in this group. This group really enjoys playing with one another, to the point where I think Ben and I look at each other some days and are like, man, were we ever on a team like this where they really like each other this much?
Yeah.
But that's really important. That's an important piece. So when you're bringing in a big personality and you drop it in the middle of that, what's that personality going to do to that group? And I think for us, it's really important that we get that right.
Does Hector help you with, like, some of his ex-teammates maybe? Because you guys have built a very good team chemistry. Like, as you're saying, it's a delicate balance. You don't want something to upset that. Do you go to him because of his contacts?
Well, there's a lot of players that come across our desk that players within our locker room have played with or know. So, yeah, you're always looking for that type of reference. A lot of times it's, yes, okay, what are they like, on the field? But a lot of times it's like, what type of human is this, and can they fit into our culture? Because not only do they know the player, and Hector would be a good example on somebody that he's played with at Atletico Madrid. Okay, what's he like as a player? But you know our locker room. You know what we're about. Are they a good fit? So, that's again, culture. And it's as much as it is our culture, it's also the player's culture. And we like to bring them in and be engaged in that. And sometimes, older players that have been around the block, keeping them in the loop, I'm not against that.
713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, if you want to call in. Let's move this forward to Justin. Justin, what do you got?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Glenn. I want to thank you both for this season. Columbus was the only team that really came close to us aesthetically, and that was a lot of fun to watch, and that's all because of the work you guys put in, so thank you. One for Pat, and then a quick one for Ben that relates. Obviously, guys like Kuchar aren't just falling out of the sky, but would you consider a bona fide in-prime nine, like a proven goal scorer, your top priority this offseason? And for Ben, what qualities are you looking for in a nine that you're relaying to Pat? Since Sebas maybe didn't quite work out for you, I understand you guys are probably going to give him a chance in the preseason, but what are you looking for, Ben, in a nine? And then for Pat, I guess, what would be your top priority this offseason, if not a nine? Thanks. Appreciate it.
You want me to go on that?
Yeah.
When I think of a nine, it depends, right? I've been on different teams and different iterations of groups throughout my career, and I've looked at different types. Target nines maybe were the right solution for this team, or someone who pushes, someone that's constantly running and more speed, more dynamic and getting behind. Sometimes you just need a box score, just a guy that's a killer in front of net. So where I'm at right now with a forward is, you know, really looking for the most well-rounded forward, a guy that can stretch the line, someone that can be a reference point underneath and combine with kind of our box midfield. Of course, you know, the hard part is scoring goals, and they got to be, you know, if you can find a killer, Cucho's a great example of a forward that comes into this league and just has a little bit of everything. He can create his own shot, good in the box, good in the air, scores in different ways, doesn't let you off the hook when he gets his chances, but he also can drop deep and combine and add extra numbers when the game dictates that and as a real reference point. So, you know, but they don't, as you said, they don't grow on trees. You know, a forward like that, they're not cheap. They're very, very, very expensive. But at some point, I'm sure we're going to have a forward in that vein in the next year or two.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people were pointing to, the fact that each team in the MLS Cup final had a legitimate goal scorer with a lot of goals. Chicho Arango came in the RSL series. I'm sure that gave you a few headaches when he finally got healthy and was back on the. They became a little bit of a different team against you guys. Where do you look now? Is it South America? Is it Europe?
I think we'll try to find the best player. I don't think it really matters where he's from. And I think the other piece that we talked about is make sure it fits in with our group.
Well, guys, listen, I thank you so much for coming up here. Outstanding job this year. You guys really brought a lot of life back to this club, aesthetically, the way it played, all your efforts. There's a lot of things none of us know on the outside that goes on behind the scenes, the work that others do on your staff. But, I mean, simply making the effort to come in the studio here to join me tonight and allow the listeners to speak with you, we really, really appreciate it. You got quick work to do here. What did you say? The next game is going to be what?
We start February 20th, I think it is, somewhere in there. So, yeah, we're back at it in pretty early January. So we're ready to go.
Unbelievable.
But listen, Glenn, if you keep bringing empanadas in every time, you might be here more often.
Well, you know, it's an open invite. You guys always have it. You've always have had it. This is all about trying to spread the lore of the Dynamo and MLS and the great game of soccer. And we can't do it without guys like you that are in the know. So, Ben, thank you also. Welcome to Houston. What an awesome start. Thank you for that. And Pat, thank you as well for coming in tonight.
Yeah, thanks for the warm welcome, Glenn. Yeah. It was nice hanging out with you this year. We had a lot of chats.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. We can do this again. You know what? We'll do one time.
We'll do this. The preseason. We'll do a preview going into next year. And
one day we'll do it, and we'll talk maybe Europe or just anything we want to talk about. Okay. All right? I was going to play some Celine Dion for you.
Wonderful.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Great to have Pat Onsat here. Great to have Ben Olson here. We'll take a break. Hope you all out there enjoyed this. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion here tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
So, you know, we've been getting into this Twitch thing as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. By the way, big thank you tonight to my great friend Sebastian Abraham, Little Patagonia Empanadas. Vicente, our intern, is Argentine. So did you get some, Vicente? Come on and give us a review right now of the empanadas from Little Patagonia. I want to hear what you thought about them because you are Argentine. You are the real deal. How were the empanadas?
The empanadas were amazing, man. Yeah. The empanadas were so good. I mean, they were on point. The sauce, everything.
Chimichurri.
I love them. Yeah. They're amazing.
All right. Thank you, Vicente, for that. Okay, so Soccer Matters brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You know, listen, I would love for some reaction now from the interview. Three segments with Dynamo head coach Ben Olson, Pat Onstad, 713-780-3776. A lot of interesting things jumped out. We can talk about that. But first, I want to go back to what I was saying about Twitch. Okay, because we haven't used Twitch a lot on this show. And after the quality of information and, I guess, entries that people put in, Guillermo, I would say Twitch, so a guy named Poor Marine. Now, this guy, whoever Poor Marine is, and I hope he's listening. Number one, what you wrote on here is an embarrassment. I hope you have no kids. Number two, you're a lowlife. And number three, the best thing you can do is move out of your mother's basement, okay? That's what you can do, all right? To sit around and be on here and type this nonsense is pretty incredible. I mean, you really got to wonder what a lowlife like Poor Marine does in his life. So, unbelievable. Literally calling me a name that I can't say, calling me biased, which Pat Onstad and Ben Olson will not think I'm biased. And Ozzy said, I hope Glenn doesn't read the Twitch. This is the first time I've ever read the Twitch comments, and this could possibly be the last. I can't even believe people could type this, even in anonymity, how they would feel about themselves. Okay. All right. I thought we were going to get some good soccer comments on Twitch. That's why I was in favor of it. But after tonight, wow, it's pretty sad. You know, there's a beauty about all the social stuff, but boy, there is a really dark side that really draws a lot of conclusions, about humans, Poor Marine. So there you go. All right, let's get back to talking soccer here and none of that nonsense. All right, UEFA Champions League today, PSV 1-1 with Arsenal. The assist in that game for PSV came from, I believe that came from Ricardo Pepi. Union Berlin at home 3-2 lost to Real Madrid. Joselu had two in that one. Bayern Munich 1-0 at Old Trafford. Coman, the goal scorer there. Manchester United, wow, out of all European competitions. They don't even get the safety net of the Europa League. Napoli 2-0 over Braga. Salzburg went down 3-1 to Benfica. I think there's a 90th minute goal here of real importance. Do we have that? Do we have that? Can we play that? Because that is a huge goal to keep Benfica alive. And Guillermo, you're going to explain that. Here we go.
You wouldn't normally see an away side pushing as much as this in an away game with a lead that they have already. But tonight's situation dictates they need another. João Neves, Alcinez in behind, and Arthur Cabral has done it.
Okay, so define that for us and how important that goal was for Benfica of Portugal.
All right, so with Benfica winning that group stage at the bottom two was Salzburg and Benfica. They were tied in points, and it all came down to the goal differential to see who would get that third place. And Benfica needed to win by two in order to get that third place, and they scored that final goal that they needed in that 92nd minute.
Okay, so huge goal. By the way, I have linear said on Twitch. At least somebody came in with something that's of importance here. He said, is Teenage gone? Yes, Teenage is gone. He was holding down a DP spot. I think the emergence of Mikael helped to make that kind of a no-brainer. If so, where is he now? Last thing I heard, because I had a little conversation with him via social media, I think he went back to family in Africa. So I don't know. You know, I don't think we know what team he's going to land on, but I'm sure he will. So there you go. Cuatro Cuatro Dos said, thanks for the great conversation, keeping the game alive in Houston. We appreciate that as well. All right, teams that have advanced in the Champions League. Bayern Munich, FC Copenhagen. That's going to make Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations happy. Arsenal, PSV, Real Madrid, Napoli, Real Sociedad, Inter of Milan, Manchester City, and Leipzig. Tomorrow, interesting games on tap. Atletico Madrid and Lazio. Man in black against Lazio. Dortmund, PSG. Newcastle, Milan. Wow, these are good games. Royal Antwerp and Barcelona. So that's what's on tap tomorrow. Copa America, we know, is coming to Houston. We had David Fletcher on, the head of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, coming to Energy Stadium in Houston. We got Mexico against the Reggae Boys of Jamaica, June 22nd. Colombia, Paraguay. How about that? I mean, there's some great South American national team football right in our backyard as we prepare for the World Cup in 2026. Colombia, Paraguay. How about that? That's June 24th. AT&T Stadium, and then we also get a quarterfinal match, which, if all goes to plan, that would be Argentina coming to Houston. AT&T Stadium in Arlington. By the way, three stadiums in Texas for the Copa America. AT&T has Peru, Chile, USA, Bolivia in that one. Q2 Stadium in Austin, Jamaica, Venezuela, and Honduras. Will play, or Costa Rica, the winner of that will play Paraguay in Austin. So Austin has a shot at showing us, and they will put people in the building for that. But they've had some international soccer that has not drawn well at all there. Some Bundesliga games, two German teams were there, didn't draw. And then, I mean, even the two Mexican teams that were there did not draw at all. So Group A is Argentina, Peru, Chile, and the winner of Canada, Trinidad, and Tobago. Group B is Mexico, Ecuador, Venezuela, and Jamaica. Group C is the U.S., Uruguay, Panama, and Bolivia. And look, Copa America, you know, this is for the United States. We all clamor and talk constantly and incessantly about the want and the desire for the U.S. to get matched up against differing competition and not just in friendlies, to get out of CONCACAF a bit. So you got a match there with Uruguay, which I think is going to be one we'll really put a circle around. Group D is Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, and the winner of Honduras and Costa Rica. The best two in each group will advance to the quarters. And again, we are hosting a quarterfinal. That's hopefully going to come out of it's the Group A winner, which if it is Argentina, we will get Lionel Messi and Argentina here in Houston. LSSE.net to keep, you can get on the list to when the tickets will go on sale. So it's a good thing to be paying attention to that, especially if you want to get ahead of that quarterfinal match, which potentially is Argentina. You can get out in front of that. So we got on Thursday, Club America Tigres. I think this is a must watch. We've got Eric Goodman of the Austin Chronicle and the Verde Report coming up next to talk about Austin FC. Charlotte FC, Dean Smith will be the next coach, the former Leicester City manager, 52 years old. In 2018, he was the manager at Aston Villa. John Terry, if you remember, the Chelsea center back, was his assistant there. Jack Grealish was on that team. He was at Villa from 2018 to 2021. Winning 55 times, drawing 27 times, and losing 56 times. We mentioned the cup in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh. And, Girona, first in La Liga right now. Have not lost on the road. They play in a 14,000-seat stadium. The coach is Michel, the former player at Rayo Vallecano. He's been the head coach since 2021. Marcelo Claure, who is a Bolivian. I mentioned earlier, the Claure Group owns Club Bolivar as a large portion of that team, Girona. And that comes on the heels of last week, the great interview we had with the former Astros general manager, Jeff Lunau, who's Cancun FC, won the second division in Mexico. And in the second division in Spain right now, Jeff's group has the team Leganés, and they are in first place. So if they finish it out, they get promoted to La Liga. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? All right. And by the way, when we were talking about player development in Houston, it does not look like the 11 years I was involved with youth soccer here from a money standpoint. Ankara Guse, president, resigned. Farrakh Koka came on the field, punched a referee. Halil Umet Meler, who was a UEFA ref, he has been arrested and they shut down the Turkish League. We're taking a break. We're shutting it down here. We come back. Eric Goodman, Austin Chronicle, Verde Report, Soccer Matters, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment tonight on Soccer Matters. ESPN 97.5 is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, one more time, I'm going to remind you about LamontBrands.com. T-shirts, hats, Soccer Matters, 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation to fight pediatric cancer. So if you're looking for stocking stuffers, good Christmas gifts, it's LamontBrands.com. We'd really appreciate it. We'd love to make a little push here around Christmas. So nice gift and one that supports the fight against pediatric cancer. Spotify, Apple, Google, this is where you find the podcast of the show or your spots where you like to go. You can also get it at ESPN975.com. All right, next guest has been a frequent one on the show. He writes the Verde Report. He is Eric Goodman. He comes from Austin. Eric, how are you?
Excellent, Glenn. How are you?
All right, good. So first off, let me get your thoughts on the MLS Cup Final. From my perspective, a great spectacle, good on and off the field. It was a win for MLS.
Yeah, really entertaining. Not quite to the level we saw last year with the Gareth Bale heroics and what I thought was probably the most important match in MLS history. But this was a good one. Really interesting to see kind of the dynamic of one franchise that's been there since day one and another franchise that since they've emerged within the last 4 years, however long it's been, has been kind of set a new standard for what an MLS club should look like and can be. Obviously, Steve Cherundolo's done an incredible job in his 2 years there, but they finally came up against a team in an environment that they just didn't have enough firepower to overcome. And I think it's a deserving champion, which is something that you don't always get in Major League Soccer, but I think we got one this year.
Two teams with two bona fide goal scorers as well, with Denis Bawanga of LAFC and, of course, Cucho Hernandez for the Columbus Crew, hit from the penalty spot in this one. So with the whole Columbus controversy, was there any reverberation in Austin around that? I mean, it is kind of a great story in sports that team got moved, new owners come in, here you are lifting an MLS Cup.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any bad blood anymore from Austin towards Columbus. I think at this point, it's kind of like a footnote more than it is a rivalry. They also haven't played very often. But what I do think is interesting is that the impact that the whole Save the Crew and the whole Anthony Precourt Austin FC controversy has had on the Crew. I mean, let's be honest, this was a dead franchise. You go back to around the time 2018 when this was all starting to percolate. That was, you know, they were playing in a really not very luxurious stadium. They weren't drawing any kind of crowd. They weren't having success on the field. And, you know, even though it seemed like a negative for them at the time, this whole threat of losing the team galvanized that fan base and galvanized that franchise to now they've won two MLS Cups in the last 4 years. And it is a great story, but it's one that doesn't happen unless you have, you know, the villain in the form of Anthony Precourt and you don't have this controversy that drives it. And so I know the folks in Columbus are always going to be and, you know, have animosity towards Austin, have animosity towards the ownership here. But in a lot of ways, they can really thank Precourt and the Austin FC for being the exact turning point that's led this team to the best years that it's ever had in its franchise.
Well, if they have angst against soccer fans in Austin, that's just downright dumb and silly because they had nothing to do with the team coming. They can have angst against Anthony Precourt for moving the team. The same thing occurred with the Houston Dynamo and San Jose. And ultimately, both teams got their stadiums and got what they wanted done. So it is kind of an interesting parallel how all of that happens. But I'll tell you, that lower.com stadium looked amazing on television. It looked amazing. And I'm a guy that called a ton of games at the old
you know, the old stadium in the fair, near the fairgrounds that was originally the first ever stadium built for soccer in MLS, because they had played at Ohio State prior to that. So fascinating story. All right, let's move on. Disappointed there's not a fourth DP added by Major League Soccer?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. And I think there's no excuse for it either. With the new Apple money, $2.5 billion over the next 10 years or 9 years now, you've got the new interest with Lionel Messi, and I hope that this is something that is in the works. It's just Don Garber's not quite ready to you know, discuss it in official terms. There has to be some effort being made by the league to tangibly increase the talent level that MLS fans can see on the field. The easiest way to do that is a fourth DP. Obviously that's not something that they're ready to do yet. And I think that's pretty tragic. And I hope that it's something that is in the works. It's just not quite ready to be activated yet.
Now, this is something that, you know, generally the owners of teams vote on. So there may be a number of teams that are not voting to have a fourth designated player. I mean, the input of owners here, this isn't solely Don Garber's decision, although he's going to get the wrath of it, or he'll get the pat on the back, whether it comes out in a good way or not. But, you know, it is always interesting to think, Eric, of the dynamics of the owners, you know, the ones that really want to spend, the ones that are out there, or the ones that are parking their money and really not putting a lot in investment, but they're putting a lot into waiting and time so that ultimately when they sell the franchise, they can make money. So I'd have to think, like any league in America, there's probably a lot of headbutting.
Yeah, and you're right. It is not Don Garber's decision, but in my opinion, it is his job to be the voice that is advocating amongst the owners of that are his employers. But he should be that voice saying, this is what we need to do to elevate this league. And if he's, you know, clearly not, that voice hasn't won out yet. And I get there are, you know, owners that have been in this league back in a time when the spending wasn't what it is now, which isn't even, you know, that substantial at all compared to other soccer leagues and other U.S., you know, major league sports leagues. But there's got to be some progress, and there's got to be, I don't know how, you know, this would all work, but there's got to be some kind of, you know, minimum or standard that if an ownership group of a club that's, you know, that's been involved with a club for 20 years can no longer keep up with where the league is headed, there's got to be changes made, because it's not fair to the fan bases. It's not fair to the organizations themselves. It's not fair to the league.
True, but it's all about making that dinero too. Let's not forget. And I think this is where we can talk about sports and the over-commercialization of it, and where the moral compass is when it comes to the actual sport and respect for it. And that's not to say there aren't a ton of people involved with MLS with respect for it, but I think we see now kind of where sports are moving. All right, we're talking to Eric Goodman, Verde Report in Austin, Texas. All right, let's talk about Rodolfo Borello. Comes over. He was an assistant to Pep Guardiola. For those who didn't know, he's now the sporting director. Big, bold move here by Precourt and the team. Your thoughts on him so far? He's had a lot of measured, good statements. But since you're in the market, maybe you know more.
Well, that's you know, probably the first place to start is so far having, you know, in our limited, you know, chances to get to meet him and shake his hand and hear from him. Very interesting, very approachable guy, really kind of a personality that I think this club needed in a way. Just somebody who seems like, you know, he's ready to make big decisions and speak, you know, on them and not hide and, you know, be a very good front facing leader for this club. But in terms of, all right, what are you actually, you know, in terms of actions over words, there hasn't been a lot yet to go off of. It's been all subtraction so far. Obviously, Diego Fagundes was traded away during the season last year, and that has freed up theoretically a lot of flexibility for them to work with this summer. Nine players that were on club options were all declined and have departed the club. So there's a lot of room. There's a lot of
room. They didn't renegotiate with any of the nine?
Only only Jimenez, only Hector Jimenez is back, okay. And you know, on a fringe, you know, very, very, you know, team friendly veteran deal. And then Ethan Finley was, he didn't have an option. He was headed for free agency, but they were able to re-sign him. So he'll be back. But everyone else, including, you know, Rodney Redes, a lot of guys that, you know, were kind of on the fringes, of this roster are, you know, have been cut off. And now there is a lot of opportunity Burrell is going to have to fill out this roster and elevate it. And I'll tell you what, I mean, you look at, you know, some of the important players that are currently situated to have big roles. You talk about Matt Hedges, talk about Alex Ring, you talk about Giazzi Zardes. These are aging, you know, players that are lacking athleticism, lacking speed. If I'm Rodolfo Burrell, that's my number one priority this winter, is we've got to get younger. We've got to get a lot quicker. I mean, you look at what Wilfried Nancy, you know, has pulled off with the Columbus Crew. It's not too dissimilar from what Josh Wolf says, you know, he wants this club to look like, you know, committed in possession, constantly building out from the back with talented, you know, defenders who can use their feet, and eventually being threatening constantly in the opposing box. But you look at the guys that Columbus has, their speed all over the place. You look, you know, Diego Rossi on one side, you've got Yeboah on the other, who scored in the final. You know, that's the kind of speed that Austin FC doesn't have and hasn't had. And I, again, if I'm Rodolfo Burrell, that's my number one goal for this offseason, his first real opportunity to add to this roster since he's arrived. And I think if he can't pull that off, I don't think much is going to be able to change for Austin in terms of how they'll perform on the field.
Yeah. And back to Austin, I would make sure you put in there, not that we didn't miss, there's a lot of things we put in, but I love the blend of Aiden Morris and Darlington Nagbe, you know, a veteran and a younger guy. There's so much to be learned from Morris, but he's also got the life and the legs, you know, to do a lot of things. He's been quite the story for them, as well as Darlington, who picked up a fourth MLS Cup. All right. So that said, you did pick up some speed in Corey Barrett, because Corey Barrett is one of the fastest guys on the Houston Dynamo. People might not believe that, but he actually is quite fast, and he has a workmanlike effort and ethic. So I'm assuming that's to compete on the right side with Ethan Finley, who is an older player. So you can't let the roster get long in the tooth, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's a smart, you know, move, I think, for Ross. They first of all, they need depth in the worst way. They literally don't have it. You know, I don't know exactly how many players are currently signed, but it's not enough to fill a match day squad, I can tell you that. So they're, you know, first of all, they're going to need bodies. And I think Corey Baird is that kind of quicker, more direct player that will help in minutes. I don't think he's somebody that you necessarily want to be relying on to make 25 starts in a season, if you're a team that has aspirations of competing for trophies. And that's,
you know, I want to stop you right there, because you're saying something that's very important. There are a lot of cues that you can pick up in MLS and in teams, but I think especially in MLS, because it's a salary cap league, when you see specific guys that are in a starting 11 consistently, they are a tip off to ambition. They are a tip off to a lot of things when it comes to how serious you are about putting a roster together, or it might be a tip off to how bad you are at putting a roster together, right? Which is not an easy thing to do in this league.
Yeah, 100%. And Austin has been, to their credit, among the top 10 spenders pretty consistently in the 3 years that they've been in MLS. So I wouldn't expect that to change, especially not with the new high profile sporting director that hopefully does come in with a vision and with certain specific players that he's identified. Obviously, he's coming from outside MLS, but he's said at every point he's been, you know, watching it for years. He's taken a really active, you know, interest in it. It's time to prove that. And it's time to find, you know, players that are going to make big wages and use, you know, a decent chunk of that salary cap or the DP slots. But also, you know, it is, you do have to find those guys that you can get on a good wage and who are going to make a big impact and be consistent winning players for your club. And so that's something that is going to be a big challenge for somebody like Rodolfo Burrell. And then one thing that, you know, has gotten a lot of chatter, you know, on Twitter and among the Austin fan base, and And Danny Pereira, their former first overall pick, the first draft pick that this club ever made, has blossomed into one of the best young midfielders in Major League Soccer. There's a lot of speculation that Austin could be looking to offload him and include him in a trade to potentially free up more space or do something different, which would not make any sense to me. I think Danny Pereira is one of those players that should be a building block. He's obviously one of the youngest starters, and he played as many minutes as anybody in that midfield and in the outfield roster. I think it was just one other player played more minutes than Danny Pereira in terms of outfield players last season, and he did great. He did really well consistently in that midfield. He's not a player that I think the club should have any. I think he should be borderline untouchable in terms of trade discussions. But we'll
makes
see.
Him a $1 million player a year at least. I mean, you're not going to make him a DP, right?
Well,
he's a building block. And the other thing is, I guess I would ask you, because you'll know this better than me, from the way you've seen him carry himself, does he look like a guy that wants to remain in Austin, or does he look like a guy that might want a fresh start? And obviously he's going to want a bigger payday because he has been cheap labor for 3 years.
For sure. And I think he's completely entitled to, to getting a more veteran oriented salary. Now, as he enters, I believe he's going to turn 25 this upcoming season. He's always been a player that I've associated with the move outside of MLS. I would imagine, for me, I never expected that it would be on the table for him to get dealt to a team inside MLS. And I'm not sure how much that, obviously, one of the teams you've heard associated with him is LAFC. And I think there is that allure. If you were to rank every MLS club in terms of profile and destination, I do think LAFC is at the top of that list and is kind of a small upgrade to any other team in the league. But I still think, it would be a mistake by Austin FC to allow Danny Pereira to go within the league. If you get an offer from a club in Portugal, for example, or somewhere else, in a substantial offer to get
do you know of any of those, Eric, by the way? Do you know of any offers coming from overseas for him?
I don't. And the last we checked with Josh Wolf during the season, during the summer, was they hadn't gotten any specific offers in. But I know there's been interest. We've been told there's been interest.
There has to be.
Yeah, of course. And so if Danny Pereira is not an Austin FC player, it would be, I guess, my hope for him as a player who I like and has carried himself really, really well and professionally since he's been here. It'd be my hope for him that it would be someplace abroad. There is obviously, I think, for him, the unique case of he's an asylum seeker still officially from Venezuela. And that does, I know, limit his travel and his ability to move. So I don't know any more about how that might be affecting his market, but it is a factor unique to him in terms of matches he can play and where he can actually compete and potentially play on a different club.
He's Eric Goodman, Verde Report in Austin, Austin Chronicle. All right. I got 40 seconds for you before we got to close this off. Where do you see Sebastian Driussi right now? How did last year's rough season affect him, you think?
It was definitely down from production in terms of goal scoring.
I mean, the mental side, the buying into the project, that side
So we now know that he specifically did request a captaincy when he re-signed this big deal. But his first year as a captain of any club, and I think you could see that responsibility weighed on him a bit. I think if you're an Austin FC fan, you're hoping that at 1 year of that under his belt, he comes back next year really ready to be a vocal leader in this locker room, more vocal than he has been, lead with his play, but also with his voice. And is, kind of that all translates into more great buildup play from him and getting back, scoring the level of goals that made him an MVP finalist 2 years ago.
Got to get a better team around him. That's Rodolfo Borrello's job, who is now the sporting director. He's restructured the scouting department, number of different people involved now. He is Eric Goodman, Verde Report in the Austin Chronicle. Eric, as always, thank you. And by the way, happy holidays to you. I always appreciate talking to you.
Likewise, Glenn. Have a happy holiday. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. That's Eric Goodman. There he goes. All right. And here we go. By the way, DaspitLaw.com, our presenting sponsor, 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. Again, you get the podcast to this show, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, or at ESPN975.com. LamontBrands.com for your T-shirts and hats to benefit the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation to fight pediatric cancer. And until next Tuesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Big thank you also to Pat Onstad and Ben Olson tonight of the Houston Dynamo after an exceptional season coming in studio. Until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.